Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. Good to see everyone here. We've got a treasure trove of truths this morning to go into, and so I'm very excited to hear what God has to share with us through His Word. Let's just pray again. Just really want to commit this to the Lord. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your Word. Thank you for the truths we can receive, the life that you've given us through this Word. And I pray that Jesus will be glorified in this place today. As we read your Word, I pray our hearts will be open to hear what you're saying, and that we'll be able to receive it and apply it and be transformed by it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been going through Philippians, and we heard from Thomas last week on pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus and the heavenly prize. And I just thought I would start with a little bit of a factual thing about the Olympics, which has just finished up. Some of you might have watched the Olympics, some of you might have seen the medals being handed out, and interestingly, that gold medal that you saw on the TV that was being given out, well, actually, there wasn't actually much gold in it. It was 92% silver and only 8% gold. So equivalent in monetary terms, it's worth about $900, that medal that you saw. So, you know, probably most people spend more on a wedding ring. or jewelry, you know. So just like, I guess, reflecting, you know, in earthly terms, gold medal, you know, how valuable is it really? And we know that the prize, the heavenly prize that awaits us, is far more exceedingly valuable than any glorious thing that could be accomplished or received on this earth. So I don't actually have the clicker with me, I know Kath will be all onto it, so I'll go to the next slide. Let's look at what we're going to be talking about today. So thanks for that Bible reading. I've entitled this sermon, Living Christ Jesus, and got three subjects: rejoicing in God, experiencing God's peace, and the Christian mindset. So we'll see how we go for time, but I might mainly want to focus on rejoicing in God, experiencing God's peace, those two things today. Now, we've heard briefly, I think Simon Glover touched on joy in his sermon when he was going earlier in the series, but I really want to touch a little bit more on joy and unpack it a little bit, because it's something you see through all Scripture, this concept of joy and this truth about joy. I believe there's a lot we can learn through studying this. In terms of God's peace, the more I've been studying this, God's peace, His joy, prayer, hope, these are all interlinked. And God doesn't just give part of Himself to us. He gives us His whole self. We receive the full package. So when we're talking about love, when we're talking about peace, when we're talking about joy, which is the first three fruits of the Spirit, we're talking about God Himself giving His nature to us, who He is. And we receive all of it as a package, as when we come to Christ, when we put our faith in Him, when we receive His Spirit, He pours out all of Himself. So that is a beautiful thing about seeking God. It's like when we seek God and we dig down and search for Him, we don't uncover just one beautiful thing, we uncover a multitude of beautiful treasures, and that's a wonderful thing. So let's go to the next slide. Rejoicing in God, Let's look at this first verse. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Paul saying here, he wants us to be full of joy all the time. In who? In the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's three things we can focus on. Always full of joy in the Lord Jesus. I say it again, rejoice. So why should we be full of joy in the Lord? Well, if any of you came coming to Hope for a little while, or if you're a new person here that hasn't come here before, or isn't a Christian, the joy I'm talking about is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the joy that came into the world. Jesus is God. He came to bring joy. The angels who spoke to the shepherds who went and saw Jesus, the angels said to the shepherds when Jesus had been born, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's everyone here. Every single man, woman, and child can have great joy through knowing Christ Jesus. And that's why he came, to bring great joy, good news and great joy. Let's consider, what is the difference between happiness and joy? A lot of us like to be, obviously most people want to be happy, don't we? No one likes being sad. But we try and find things to make us happy, don't we? Whether it's music, whether it's food, socialising, we all have our different things we like to put us in a good mood. Happiness, however, is an emotion. It's something we feel, it's a mood. It comes, but then it seems to go again, doesn't it? It seems to be up and down. The joy Paul is referring to is not merely a mood or emotion or a feeling. Paul's talking about a fruit of God's Spirit. He's talking about a joy that is lasting, that remains. You see, God is eternal and he doesn't change. So when you receive God, you receive something that won't change, and that is eternal. The Spirit of God in a believer continually, as in him, God continually has pleasure, has delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in us wants to delight in Jesus. Just as Jesus delighted in the Father, the Spirit of God in us delights in Christ and delights in the Father. So when we yield to the Holy Spirit, when we recognize the Holy Spirit in us and we are filled with his Spirit, we too will delight in God. We too will have pleasure in God. So the risen Lord Jesus is what brings mankind true and lasting joy. So let's go to the next slide. How do we live this encouragement to always be full of joy in the Lord and rejoice? Let's look at Paul when he wrote to the Romans and he encouraged the Roman church. He said in Romans 15, verse 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. So the key to having joy in Christ is to know him and to trust in him. This was Paul's prayer for the church. Trust is integral to any relationship. If you're married or you have a spouse, then you'll know how important trust is. How does trust get established? It's through knowledge, it's through understanding, it's through getting to know your other half. David talked about marriage earlier, about studying your wife. The same applies to us. We are to study the Word, we are to study God, and we need to get to know Him. That's how we build our trust in Him. But if you want to have another memory verse, I'd encourage you to have this one. Put this on your fridge, write it down, pray it to yourself, pray it over your family. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill me completely with joy and peace because I trust in Him. Pray that, and that will bless you. Next slide, please. If any of you read the church email Jordan sent out, he sent out a quote by this fellow named Dan Moeller. I just want to read it out. We've been called into intimacy in relationship with God. We're not just called to live a life of faith. We're not just called to serve the Lord. We're called into intimacy in the fellowship of His Son. The greatest ability you possess in the grace of God is to be with Him. What surpasses everything you'll ever do in the Christian life is the ability to be with Him, the ability to be one with Him, to have your face unveiled, to know Him and to be known by Him. The greatest blessing of your life isn't to serve the Lord, it's to know the Lord. And Jordan recently at our church camp talked about intimacy with God. It was a wonderful time of teaching, and this is again reinforcing that our goal, our desire should be to know Christ and become like Him. And Matt talked about the difference between faith and works. And if we put faith, trusting in God first, the works will follow. You know, if we become like Jesus, we will do the works of Jesus. We are to make Him the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Now, there's this link between joy and goodness, and I'm really blessed, feel blessed that God put it on Julia's heart or whoever to put that song, I'll Sing of the Goodness of God. I believe that song is integral to, well, it's speaking of a truth that is really key to unlocking joy in our lives, and that is to recognize the goodness of God. See, in our lives, when we experience happiness or joy, it's always associated with something good, isn't it? Whatever we value as good, we will count it as joy, we'll count it as happy to participate, to experience something that is good, won't we? When we have our eyes open to the goodness of God, when we have a revelation of God, when we taste and see that the Lord is good, our joy will be in Him. We will find joy in God. See, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. This revelation of His goodness is what will unlock joy. And what we'll hold, and that will be what our joy holds onto. It'll be an anchor for us. Let's go to the next slide. David, the psalmist, spoke about his delight in God. He said, "You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Joy is... rejoicing and joy, being joyful, is as Paul describes. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." It's an active, deliberate, intentional decision that we can make. It is not something that just happens to come on upon us by chance or coincidence. We have to choose to rejoice. We have to choose to be joyful. And we do that by being aware of God's presence, knowing he's with us, and that he wants to have fellowship with us. We're still going to have times when we're sad. We're still going to have emotions. That's perfectly normal, and God gave us those emotions. We shouldn't suppress those. We should express the emotions that God gave us. We can still have, you know, difficulties, pains, hardships, disappointments. These things can have us come upon us. You know, Jesus was described as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But we read that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy of having us be with him forever, he carried that cross. And he endured that pain. And that is what we can have as well, that joy through whatever circumstances we are going through, whether we're experiencing loss, pain, sorrow, we can have the joy of the Lord carry us through those things. Another example is Paul and Silas. They were in prison for preaching the gospel. And there they are in prison in the middle of the night, worshipping God, praising him, giving thanks to God. And all the prisoners knew, you know, they had joy in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, says, the oil, or can be referred to as the Holy Spirit, of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. I encourage everyone, start your day with praise. Start your day with thanksgiving. Start your day exalting God. I've recently started doing this more often, and it just sets the tone for your whole day. When you start with him as your focus and deliberately, intentionally find your joy in him, find your purpose, find your hope in him, and just wait as his joy will fill you, and it'll make your day go so much smoother. Let's go to the next slide. Just quickly, my testimony is that I was, as a teenager growing up, you know, pretty self-absorbed person. You know, I didn't know how to love people very well, or care for them, consider their needs, interests, etc. And this led to me probably, hurting quite a few people in just terms of, not being considerate of other people's needs and not being aware of how to treat people well. So that led me on a journey to really find God's love, because I found and I came to this place of awareness that I didn't have the love that I should have to be able to give to others. And anyway, that's a very short summarized version of my testimony, but anyway, it led me on a journey of seeking God's love, to know his love. And then on my 25th birthday, I had an experience where the presence of God came upon me and I received joy, I received his love, and that transformed me, because what I realized was is I couldn't give out what I hadn't received. So my encouragement is, if you feel like you don't have joy, or you have looking for peace in your life, then go to God, go to seek him, and he will receive from him. We might keep going, and because I want to get into God's peace before we have run out of time. We've got two verses talking about peace, God's peace. Let's go to the next slide. So yeah, this is our memory verse. Don't worry about anything. This is New Living Translation. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, if you're feeling anxious or worried right now, if I go up to you and say, don't be worried, don't be anxious, you're probably going to not receive that very well. it's just like our natures don't really work that way. But if I say to you, pray and include God in everything you do, and in doing so, he will take your anxieties and worries away. Just reverse the order of that scripture, and you'll probably be able to apply that more easily, because if I just tell you don't worry, you know, it might not be able to receive as well. So I encourage you, just reverse the order of that scripture, and you might find that you'd be able to apply that verse. Because if we do pray to God, if we do talk to him about our worries, about our concerns, about our things that we're uncertain about, which life is full of uncertainties, then God will give us peace. And I'll talk about that in a second. Do you know God knows what we need before we ask him? We've got a Father, a Heavenly Father, that loves us. He knows what we need. We have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who wants to be our friend, who we can talk to, where we can meditate on his word, we can pray to God, we can bring petitions to him. And in doing so, we are giving our burdens, if you like, giving our worries over to him. And prayer is just talking with God. It's working out your faith. It's just like walking is working out your leg muscles. So prayer is essential to walking with God, just as much as your legs are to walking. So if you want to walk somewhere, you've got to have legs to be able to do that. And if you want to walk with God, praying is just as important, because praying is communing with God. It's relating to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is great. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Then let's go to the next slide. Don't worry. Then it says, thank him for all he has done. Thankfulness is another integral part of this process of receiving peace. When we stop being thankful, when we stop being grateful, when we stop appreciating what God has done for us, we become self-centered, entitled, and we can set ourselves up for disappointment and lose sight of who God is. We can get an insufficient mindset. But Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when we give thanks, we are acknowledging that God is enough, that his grace is enough, that he has accomplished everything we need by his death and resurrection on the cross. And we're getting our eyes off ourselves and onto him and his perfection and his grace, which is sufficient. Next slide says, then you'll experience God's peace. So if we follow the pattern, if we, like it says, pray about everything, tell God what we need, thank him for all he has done, then we'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. In other words, his peace isn't just an intellectual reasoning. It is a supernatural peace which goes beyond all reasoning. And that is the amazing thing about God's peace, is when it comes upon you, you know it, you experience it, And 1 minute you before you weren't in peace, and then the next minute you're in peace. And it's just a beautiful place to be when you have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And we just have to commit our request to God and thank Him. Be thankful. Now, there's so much I could say about peace, but I don't have time because it's too big a topic. But yeah, we'll have to keep moving. Just to go to the next slide. It says, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So why does it say guard your hearts and minds? That's because the enemy, the devil, he wants to steal, rob, steal, kill and destroy. He wants to take away what God has promised us, which is peace, joy and love. Now, the outworking of righteousness, that is being made right with God, right standing with God, which we receive by faith in Christ Jesus, by faith in Him alone through grace, that fruit of righteousness is peace. It says in Isaiah 32, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I think that's a beautiful description of the righteousness of God in a believer. So I believe that a lot of our worries, a lot of our feelings of, you know, whether it be guilt, whether it be shame, whether it be condemnation, come from perhaps a lack of understanding that we've been made right with God, that we've been forgiven, that we've been completely transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We've been made as children of God. That truth will change your life if you really receive it, if you really believe it. It will change your life. You need to understand that you've been made right with God. Because if you've been made right with God, that peace will guard your heart and mind. So I really encourage you to just get in the Word, get understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, that you've been made right with Him, because the outworking of that will be peace, and your heart and minds will be guarded against the enemy who will try and sow doubt as to who you are. Yeah, we've probably got a couple of minutes, if you let me have a couple of minutes just to talk about these last two verses. These last verses are talking about what we are encouraged to fix our mind on, fix our thoughts on. Now, it's really talking about our thought life, our mind. You know, we have 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts. And every thought has a potential to grow into something. It's like a seed. Are there any gardeners out there? Surely there's a few. Yeah. Well, I'm a bit of a gardener and I like gardening and growing things. But you see, whenever you have soil down, you see that there's always things trying to get in that soil and grow up. And they're not necessarily things you want to grow. Often they're not. The weeds love to grow on the soil. You just put a patch of dirt down and, you know, a few weeks later there will be things growing on it. Now, our mind is like a patch of soil. And whatever we are cultivating, whatever we are agreeing with, whatever we're allowing into it, that patch of soil is going to grow up and produce something. And we need to be careful what we allow into that patch of soil. We need to be reflecting on what we are putting in our minds, be it positive or negative, because it will produce something. what's our language like? Because what we're speaking is going to reflect what's happening in our minds. If you're speaking it, you're thinking it. So by fixing our thoughts on what is pleasing to God, what is true, what is honourable, what is pure, what is lovely, admirable, on what is right, then it will produce good fruit. It will produce fruit that others can benefit from, not just ourselves. See, God didn't just make us to be islands. He wants us to be fruitful that other people can benefit and receive the fruit that God pours out of us. Because as he says, as I said earlier, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life more abundantly. Let's stay over there. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to the earth and dying on the cross for us, God, that we could have joy in you, not in our temporary circumstances or temporary pleasures that fade away, but in an everlasting God that desires for us to be with him. Thank you, Lord, that you promised eternal life for us. Thank you that you have given us such wonderful hope and peace through trusting you. And I pray that the God of hope will fill us with peace and joy as we trust in you, Lord. I pray that we would be people known for having that fruit come out of us, that we would be people that fix our mind on good things, things that are full of truth, honor, goodness. And God, I pray that you'll transform us and that we'll become more and more like you and have your mind, Jesus. Amen.